Hello, and welcome back to your favorite podcast, De-Influence. Hi, my baby boy.
It's good to be back.
I missed you. Last week was just really not my week. The podcast episode was just, I'm sorry. I apologize. I was not feeling well. I was just not in a good mood, but I am in such a good mood today.
What happened last week? I blacked out.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, you know what I think happened this weekend?
What?
You and me, babe. We did it a lot.
Just right there.
And I feel like we're in better spirits.
Oh, well, yeah. You were sick, and then you left for Vegas, and then you came back, and then you were like, I'm ovulating. I was like, okay, I'm fine. Well, that's really kind of how it happened.
I was like, okay, fine. I was ovulating this weekend. It's been on the calendar. The only reason Jordan even knew this is because we went to a kid's birthday party and Ellie came up to him and was like, did you do it this weekend?
Yeah, I know. She's like the warden over our fertility.
Because Ellie knew my fertility better than I did because when we go on walks, we share that with each other.
Yeah.
And so I told her, I said, Martha's in your calendar and hold me accountable.
No, there's like this crazy flywheel effect that's starting to happen in our friend group. Like before, we were like the only ones with kids. Now they're all having their first kids and they're like, let's all be pregnant together. And I'm like, do you realize that would mean three for us?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
One for you.
Yeah. Like it puts us on a different planet, yeah. You know?
But honestly, being at those kids' birthday parties, I kind of had a bad attitude about it. I'm not going to lie. We had a doubleheader.
The men in this friend group are getting, y'all get in the worst moods when we do anything child related. It's horrible. And you guys kind of all feed off of each other. Like you go off in the corner and just like stomp around. Like personally, I had the best weekend of my life.
That's not what happened. So we had a doubleheader. We had two birthday parties. Okay. So like wake up, first thing you have to look forward to, 1-year-old's birthday party.
Jordan was literally on his knees praying I was sick the night before. He was praying. Like he woke up, he's like, oh, how are you feeling? Are you still sick? We have to skip the birthday parties. I'm like, no, Jordan, they came to our birthday party. We're going to their birthday party. And Jordan's like, that's not a rule. I'm like, yes, that is a rule. If your mom did not teach you that rule, I'm teaching you.
Yeah, yeah. And so then we went to an 11 o'clock birthday party and then we had a weird gap. And then we had a 3 o'clock birthday party. So it was like, do we take a nap? Do we not take a nap? So we were late to the second party. I will say, here's what I'll say about the birthday parties. And I do apologize. I think it's very normal for no husband to want to be there. 100%.
Okay.
Like,
what is so bad about being together with your friends and your children and your children's friends?
Oh,
what is so horrible
no.
about that 2-hour experience? Maybe 1 hour.
No. You don't understand. We all wanted to be together. We just didn't want to be together there. We wanted to I'm not a golf guy. They wanted to be playing golf. I wanted to be playing paintball. It was actually so fun though. And here's why is that when we were at, Adam and Tiffany's daughter's birthday party,
Lily.
Yeah. I know. When we were there, I didn't know if I should say her name, but then I was like, she's on the internet. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Privacy.
I was like, that's so stupid to me. No, but when we were at Lily's birthday party, I looked around and all of our kids are running around. Stratton's got like 6 pieces of candy in his mouth. Stella's bright red because she's been sprinting outside.
She was.
You know, so sweaty. And I looked at all the guys and I go, you know what, guys? This is what life's all about.
Aw, that's really so
was.
Sweet.
It was. It's all about like we're all hanging out. All the wives are happy. All the dudes are happy. All the kids are happy. It's just great.
Can I ask you something?
Yeah.
What is your take these days on elaborate kids' birthday parties?
I think they're so out.
Really?
And this is coming from the architect of Interstellar.
Yeah, come on. Come on. I mean, nobody went bigger than we did.
Yeah, no, I truly.
I don't think anyone's done it.
That was
big.
Like a wedding.
Yeah, it was nicer than our wedding.
You know, but it's like, I think that there was an era for that on the internet. Or maybe there wasn't. And maybe it was just totally tone deaf and we did it. But I think it's so out now.
See, I'm so for it.
Really?
I'm honestly for whatever brings you joy and whatever the parents want to do, because let's be real, it's for the parents. And I'm like, yeah, it is for the parents whenever they're one, they're not going to remember. So I'm like, you go all out, do whatever you want.
Wait, sorry. So do you consider any of the birthday parties we went to elaborate? Because I don't. I thought that they were like perfect.
I think they were pretty elaborate.
Oh, I thought they were like perfect.
Okay, well, they weren't Interstellar.
Yeah, that's what I mean by elaborate.
We went all out. But you have to admit, that was also my birthday and Stella's birthday mixed into one with our gender reveal. So we did like three things all in one. So we were like, let's just go all out for one thing. But we'll probably never go like that all out again.
Yeah.
But I love a big party. What's the point of life if you can't throw a party?
No, I thought they were great birthday parties. I did not feel like they were too elaborate. I thought they were very tasteful. And honestly, I rescind my bad attitude of waking up on Saturday morning and being like, doubleheader.
Yeah.
It's just, you're right. I think a lot of the guys do feed off each other.
You do.
Yeah.
It's a negative energy.
We're like doubleheader today, baby.
And then all you talk about is how you don't want to be there. I'm like, just get it together and be happy.
That's true.
Well, we had a good weekend. I'm coming back feeling very refreshed. You know, Martha Stewart and Queen Latifah and Donna Kelsey just have that effect on you.
Yeah.
When you're with them for 48 hours straight, it's just, how can you not, you know?
Did you expect for Vegas to be as crazy as it was?
No, and I want to tell you guys, hands down, it was the best experience of my life.
Yeah, I believe you.
It really was. I was not expecting that. And I think because I wasn't expecting that, it made it even sweeter. I was so under the weather. I was so not feeling well. I've never taken so much DayQuil in my life. I think I'm still coming off of it. But it was worth every single minute. Like, it was amazing.
And your mom handled it okay?
Yeah. So for those of y'all that don't know, my mom was a QVC ambassador. They chose 50 women over 50 years old to represent QVC and the hashtag Age of Possibility for the next year. This campaign was one of the most genius, sentimental, sweet campaigns I've ever seen activated. Because what was so inspirational about a lot of these women coming together, like Martha Stewart or like Queen, a lot of them didn't really take off in their businesses or even start their businesses until after 50. Think about it. I'm 31. Like, that's 20 years from now, starting your business. And now what, Martha Stewart's worth like $400-500 million. I mean, it's just insane. And so I think as women get older, a lot of times you start to feel like your life is over. It's like opposite for men. As men get older, it's like, wow, they age so gracefully and they're more powerful and they're richer and they're stronger and more independent. Well, for females, a lot of times it's like the opposite. And so to be in a room of 50 women that are just quite frankly badasses, like I don't know what else to say. I shed multiple tears and I was only 31.
No,
like,
I bet it was incredibly inspirational.
It was. And these women are, everyone was so supportive, kind. I have to take a minute to talk to you guys about Queen Latifah. I never thought I'd be talking about Queen Latifah on this podcast, but I love her movies. The Holiday, she's so funny. Like, yeah. She's in great movies. And I have always loved her as a singer and actress. But when I tell you,
is she a singer?
I think so. She sings some songs. When I tell you, I would say now I've met a decent amount of celebrities, probably more than I can count on two hands, right? Queen Latifah and Post Malone will go down in the history of nicest celebrities in the world for me. In fact, Queen Latifah and Post Malone like need to do a collab together, because the amount of joy that they'd be sparking would just like, they're amazing. She came up to me. And she comes up to me, she's like, hey, honey, how are you doing? Are you doing okay? Like, I'm like, why are you asking me about myself? Like, she saw me kind of eyeing her down, you know, like trying to get a picture. She's like, I'm just so blessed to be here. We're all so blessed. I love your mother. Your mother's beautiful.
Wow.
Where'd you get your outfit from? Like, she was just so, and I couldn't get her off my tail. I was like, Queen Latifah, I gotta go. I'm like, you're Queen Latifah. You got better and bigger people to talk to. And she wouldn't stop talking to me.
You're like, Bradley Cooper's over there. She's like, I just want to be with you.
Yeah, no, I mean, really though. Like, I honestly, I was trying to respect the celebs and respect the space, you know? So I try to just pop in, pop out. Like, I don't want to like be annoying, but like, she would have hung out with me. Like, we could have hung out all night, you know? And so then I saw her the next day. Hi, honey. Good to see you again. those pants, girl, where did you get those pants? I'm like, Queen Latifah, these are under $100 jeans. I'm like, and she's like, get out. She's like, I need those. No way. And I'm like, once again, I was like, you know, whenever you kind of say something in passing and you keep walking and she, yeah. like, she stops. And I'm like, Queen Latifah, I still got to keep walking. Like, you're Queen Latifah. You need to go. She wanted to talk to me. She's so nice.
Do you have her number?
No, I just, you know, here's the thing.
I know, that's where you always stop.
No, here's the thing. Since I got back from Vegas, I could vomit. Yeah. With how I acted around some of these celebrities, not because I was too eager. It's because I was trying to play too cool. I was trying to be like, ugh, you know, hi, like, can we get a bit? And then walk away. When honestly, Jordan, I could have gotten Queen Latifah's number. I could have gotten Martha Stewart's number. All these celebrities, like, they were giving me the time of the day, but I didn't respect myself enough.
I know.
To talk to them.
That's
I was
our yin
so,
and yang, though.
Yeah.
If we would have been there together, I think we could have really worked that room.
Babe, you would have. Donna Kelsey, I had her in the palm of my hand. Okay. Like, Jordan, I literally have not stopped. I could puke. I could puke thinking about it. And like, okay. So I never asked Donna Kelsey about Taylor Swift because I wanted to respect her and I wanted her to be.
I think that's the right move.
I wanted this to be her weekend. I didn't want to bring up Taylor Swift or even her boys around her. Like, I was like, this is Donna Kelsey. This is about the woman that she is. In fact, she's shared some pretty like interesting, inspirational stories. She's talked about how when she started in the stock market. She was a stockbroker, I believe. And she was working in a, you know, office full of men, and she's really tall. And a bunch of men told her like to take off her heels and don't wear heels in the office and dress a certain way. Mm. You know, like all of us girls are like, boo, like men suck. Just kidding, but kind of. And these stories are really, really sweet. And so I was really trying to get to know Donna as Donna, you right. know, not as Travis Kelsey's mom, not Jason Kelsey's mom, not Taylor Swift's maybe future mother-in-law. And so, but then let me tell you what happened. This is what's, it eats me alive. It eats me to my core. So the last night I'm feeling really sick. Okay. So we film the episode of the live show with my mom is on a show with Donna Kelsey, Jane Brown, and my mom, Mary Clay Haver. So anyway, after the show, I am like, Jordan, I'm dying. I'm so sick. Like the green bugs are coming. Ew. Like, I'm telling you, I was so ill and I had not slept. I was waking up every morning at 4 a.m., going to bed at like 11 p.m., 12 p.m. I was just not good. So I decided to retreat. I was like, Mom, I have to go back to the room. I need to pack. My flight was really early the next day. Mom was like, yeah, you know, I kind of had already experienced everything. Like right. all the people were still there at the party, but I was like, I need to go back. My mom comes back to the room an hour later. Danny, Donna Kelsey, we spent the whole hour with her. Opened up about everything. She started talking to my mom about Taylor Swift. She started talking to my mom about her divorce, about everything she was going through, about the media, what the media stories are painting about her that are not true. And I'm like, Mom, what'd you ask her? My mom's like, I didn't know what to ask her. So she didn't ask her anything. But I was like, oh my gosh,
Your
if I would have been
like,
there.
Been like, Donna, is it crazy to you that Taylor Swift is a devil worshiper?
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. That
she's
just,
like, she's like, look at this link I found on Facebook.
Yeah, this link on Facebook. No, but she did actually open up to my mom about Taylor. And
..
I can't say. I know it sucks, but I can't because I don't want to lose her trust.
Yeah. I don't think it was any, I know this guys. And let me just tell you, it's not anything that juicy.
It kind of is though.
It's not that juicy. Do you think that...
I beg to differ. I think it's pretty freaking juicy.
What was... did she talk about her sons at all?
A little bit, but she more so talked about her grandkids. And it was cute on her Apple Watch. She had a picture of her boys. It was really sweet. Because, you know, she's just a mom. She's a mama just like the rest of us. That's the thing about these celebrities. They're just like us. Kathy Lee Gifford, when we first walked into the party, was like literally like readjusting her bra, like putting on, like didn't have any shoes on. And my mom goes up to her right when she's like so flustered. My mom's like, can I get a picture? I'm like, Mom, celebrity 101. Like just wait till they have their bras and shoes on, you know?
Are you still starstruck by celebrities?
Bradley Cooper got me.
Yeah, Bradley Cooper. That
you know
was
what happens
incredible.
To me when I get starstruck by celebrities? I get numb. When I don't, when I really, really care, like when it's such a big deal that I'm like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. I get numb and I don't even care anymore at that point. Cause it's so, they're so fabulous that I'm like, but if they're actually attainable, I feel stressed because I'm like, I should get a picture. But with Bradley Cooper, like I literally, like, I don't even remember what I said because I was like, I don't like, this is, it's just out of body. Like I was like, you know?
Yeah. There's
Jordan, like, thought I was flirting with Bradley Cooper.
Well, no, I only saw a selfie with him and I was like, Bradley Cooper's probably hitting on Danny. Like I can't compete Jordan with this. Always, what am I going to do?
This is the funniest thing about our relationship is Jordan thinks I leave the house and get hit on 24/7 when I don't remember the last time I got hit on ever.
Yeah. No, I was at gymnastics with Stella and I saw the selfie and I was like, this sucks. I was like, how am I going to compete with Bradley Cooper?
When in reality,
and then I was like, should I go pick up my guitar again and like start learning songs? Like, what should I do?
In reality, I was, so Bradley Cooper was there serving us lunch and, you know, he's serving lunch to like 50 women, but like half of the women are just as famous as he is. So really he's only serving women like lunch to 20 of us. Yeah. So I was like, this is just wild. And, so I was with Susan Knowles, who is from the Golden Bachelor. She's amazing, by the way. Probably one of my favorite people like in life. And
what'd she say about this Jerry guy?
I can't say, but I really can't say, but it was actually really juicy. She actually told me not to talk about this on my podcast. And I actually didn't even tell you this. It's about their divorce. Cause he just got a divorce.
Not from her though.
No, she didn't win.
Yeah.
He was engaged to, Teresa. Yeah, Teresa. He was engaged to Teresa and they only were, no, I'm sorry. He was married to Teresa. They were married for like 3 months and then they got a divorce, something like that. And she told me why.
Mm.
But I can't say, which is so annoying, but I want to tell y'all, but I can't because I know that she'll like, she literally told me, she was like, Danny, do not say, but I'll tell you later.
Okay.
Or if you guys ever meet me on the street, I'll tell you too. Because you know I can't keep a secret. I'm kidding. I can't, Susan. I'm kidding. I won't tell anybody. Maybe. Okay. So.
So how was Bradley?
Okay. So I was with Susan. And this is what's crazy. Bradley calls Susan over. He goes, Susan, I'm a huge fan. I have so many questions for you. And Susan's like, bye, Danny. Like, bye. So she goes over and gets a picture with Bradley Cooper. And I had already gotten a selfie with him because, you know, like my body just took over. And I was like, just get a picture with Bradley Cooper. And so then I'm standing over there. And there is a clothing business that's sold at QVC. It's called Peace, Love, World. Mm-hmm. And this girl, her name's Elena. She's the founder, owner of it. And she was so sweet. As Susan was getting a picture with Bradley Cooper, I wasn't even going to ask. Cause like, I was like, you know, he's just one of those celebrities that he's just too big. I'm like, I don't deserve it. And she was like, Danny, you get in there. She goes, hi, I'm Susan's manager. This young lady needs her picture next. And just pushed me over there.
Wow.
It was so nice. So I told her, I was like, send me some of your clothes. I'm going to shout you out so hard. Like, you don't believe it. Like, I was like, I'm going to support you. I was like, here's my address. I am forever indebted to you. She was really sweet. She had brought her daughter as well. And so we kind of like hung out. There were a lot of daughters there. Speaking of daughters, you know who else was there? Babs. Brunch with Babs on TikTok and Instagram. She is a hoot.
Did she get along with Tornado?
Oh, yeah. Her and Tornado belong together on stage somewhere. But Babs is, it's really sweet. Her daughter manages her account. She was really, really cool. She was kind of like the brains behind the business. And Babs is just Babs, you know? Like, and so my mom and Babs got like a little TikTok collab together. I filmed it for them. And it was really sweet. Rita Wilson was there, Tom Hanks' wife. She performed for us. I know Jordan thinks she's Illuminati.
No, I don't. I'm not saying she is. I'm saying that when Illuminati comes up, she's pretty tied to it.
Yeah.
Because of Tom.
I'll tell you this. She didn't give me Illuminati vibes.
I mean, did she make this sign?
Only like.
Does she have any triangles?
No, just above her eye like this. No, she did.
She's like singing on stage and just covering one
eye. She's like, no, she had sparkly pants on too. And so she singled me out. Man, these pants I wore were just a
hit. They were a hit.
It was the best decision I ever made. They're from Nasty Gal. They're under $100, you guys. Go to my LTK page. They're still on there. So wipe up. No. But no, they were the cutest jeans and people just loved them. So anyway, Rita Wilson came up to me and was like, love your jeans, girl. And I was like, yeah, sparkles.
You know what you should have done with him? Her? You should have asked about her son, Chet.
Babe, this is why I need you places. Because like,
her son, Chet, is a rapper.
Really?
Yep. She's got Colin and she got Chet. Colin, actor.
Mm.
Some good films. Orange County. Nothing Like His Dad. It's okay. It's a Big Shadow. But Chet.
That would be hard to be Tom Hanks.
Chet is a rapper.
Child. Because mm-hmm. like, what are you ever going to do?
I think Chet might have taken the more rebellious path, but.
Well, you know what I'm telling you, it was hard to be Tornado's daughter as well, because she was just out there soaring. I was like, I belong here too. Like just following her around, yeah, so, taking all her pictures.
So is she loving it? Is she hating it? Is she like, oh my gosh, like how do you do this?
So to
every
be
day?
Honest, my mom and I, I went up to David Ratcliffe, I think is, no, that's Daniel, Daniel Ratcliffe. He's from Harry Potter.
He was
David Rawlinson, I think. He's the CEO of QVC. Let me fact check myself because I don't want to disrespect him. I want to say David Rawlinson, if I remember correctly. QVC.
Was he the brains behind this event most likely?
No, he wasn't. David Rawlinson. Wow. I never have a David Rawlinson the second. So he was the CEO of QVC and I got to chat with him for about 20, 30 minutes. I really let him have it.
About what?
I was like, listen, David, the fact that you don't have Tornado on QVC.
Yes, good girl.
I was like, that's your problem.
It is.
Right there.
It really is their problem.
I was like, Tornado will fix all things.
Just so y'all know the history, I have been pushing Tornado and Tornado to be a QVC host for years. Truly, I'm on my second year of pushing this on QVC.
To be fair, my mom's like, I don't know if I want to be on QVC.
And I keep telling her, I said, listen, we're going to buy you a farm in Pennsylvania. Yeah. You're going to hang out on the commune with all the other
hosts. Laura Geller. Laura Geller did me and my mom's makeup one day at the event.
Yeah.
She's so cool. So sweet. I was like, Mom, look at all these friends you'll have out here.
I know.
It's all these women that just like kill it on QVC. No. Each time they go live, y'all, they are selling millions of dollars of products. Like, I think it was, they had a stat, I think it was like 80% of QVC's audience is over 50. Like these women are just sitting at home buying things all day long.
Yeah.
And I mean like, Mom, I'm like, you could do this.
She could do amazing. Everyone's like kind of on the same page. We just got to like find her a product to like really get behind.
Yeah. Well, she's really like liking. Divvy. Yeah. Yeah.
That's also an endeavor. I'm sure.
I talked to them about that too. Don't you worry.
Yeah. Oh, I know. Last time
I was working that room.
This is how hardcore I am about it. Last time you were on QVC with your mom for Elemis, one of our employees, Jenny, was there. And I called Jenny after the show and I said, hand the phone to.
Don't say your name.
Yeah, the VP. And she handed her the phone and I said, listen, I'm watching this. Like, I know that this is performing. Like, why isn't Divvy on QVC? She thinks it's so funny.
She thought it was hilarious.
She thinks it's so funny.
We love our QVC family. I hope we get to do more with them because I really did have, it was just the most amazing week. And so,
how do you think that they plan on innovating? Because, you know, cable cutters.
Well, honestly, I think they're gonna probably hire Tornado and me to come fix those problems for them.
Oh, okay.
No, they have some ideas and we talked about them, but I don't know if I'm supposed to. So anyway, we had it was a great week.
Can I say one more thing about Bradley Cooper?
Did the TikTok ban pass?
Oh yeah.
So it's not happening? No,
it's happening. It's happening. Yeah, Biden signed it.
Wait, you're telling me TikTok is going away?
Yeah, that's what happened while you were gone.
Wait.
As I was out here petitioning for the future of our business on Instagram, and I was saying, get rid of TikTok, get it out of here.
Okay, so what's going to happen? So are you telling me I don't have to make TikToks anymore?
Well, they have like a year to figure this out, and they probably will. Like, I think it's still hardcore theatrics. Maybe there's people like in the intelligence and national security industry that like actually want this ban. To me, it just feels like theatrics that it's just going to lead to some hostile takeover from an American company or whatever. But sources are now starting to say that ByteDance is actually way more involved. ByteDance is like the Chinese company that is like over TikTok. So their whole argument before was like, oh no, TikTok operates independently. You know, it's a US-based company. We just own it. And now it's starting to come out a lot more that they're very heavily involved in like policing, you know, different decisions that are being made at like the US company. So I don't know. I think they love TikTok. I think ByteDance is like, TikTok and ByteDance are one. This is not going to be separated. But then it'll get caught up in courts and it'll just be like years and years and years.
Great. So we're still making TikToks.
So we're still making TikToks. I think it's just a theatrical thing.
Okay. Did you want to say one more thing about Bradley Cooper before we move on?
Oh yeah. I was just going to tell you that when I went, I was at gymnastics with Stella and I was like, okay, if Bradley Cooper's hitting on Danny, I said, okay, Danny versus Gigi Hadid. Cause that's who his girlfriend is, right?
Rude. Ew, what do you have to say?
No, you won on every account. That's why I started spiraling as I was like, okay, well on this account, like this account, I was like, no, you know what? Like Gigi's probably some like supermodel with no personality. It's like Danny's the full package. That's
guys,
what got me going.
If I can give you any dating advice, marry you a man that thinks Bradley Cooper would leave Gigi Hadid for you.
It depends on y'all's conversation and how much like, you know, he hit on you.
Me and Bradley Cooper were basically macking in the back. Really, honestly. Philly cheesesteak.
All I saw was a selfie with Bradley Cooper. And then I was like, oh, he actually like got out of the food truck and like took a picture with her.
This is why I love social media, because you can just tell whatever story you want. The fact that that's what you thought happened, both of those pictures, there was like a 2-hour break in between them.
Yeah.
But you don't know that.
She's not picking up her phone. She's not answering. I was like, F man. I was like, freaking Bradley Cooper.
I'm in the truck with Bradley Cooper. LOL. No, honestly, I feel the same. Like, okay, I would say my celebrity crush, maybe Chris Pratt.
That's a new one, right?
No, it's always been.
Really?
Chris Pratt, for sure.
I thought it was always like Leo.
Leonardo DiCaprio? No, or like Brad when Pitt? He was like 20.
Oh, okay.
Brad Pitt? No, but like Brad Pitt's like, they're both good looking guys, but like, I don't know. But I feel like Chris Pratt would be like a nice man.
Yeah.
Even if he came up to me, I would be like, ew, no.
I know, that's how I feel, truly.
Yes, yeah,
real talk,
saying.
I feel that.
So we just love each other.
We were so bored this past weekend.
We were so bored,
after
y'all.
After our doubleheader, we like put the kids to bed and we were like, well, we can't leave because they're asleep. So
Jordan's like,
should
we go like go somewhere? I'm like, babe, our kids are sleeping. No, where would we go?
And so we pulled out this game. Was it called Do You Know Me?
It's called Do You Know Me. We didn't even play it right. We just used the cards as like conversation starters.
So you'd be like, can you like, I believe Danny can name the last NBA champion. And I was like, no. And I would guess. And then you would do it. And I'd be like,
the stupidest game. We like entertained ourselves for like 30 minutes.
Honestly though, I feel like what we confirmed is like, we know each other incredibly well.
Did you have fun playing with me?
Yeah.
You did?
Yeah. You wanted to play chess and I was like, boring. I'm going to beat you. I beat you every time.
Okay. We played twice.
But I do like that N64 idea. We should get an N64.
I told Jordan,
Mario
I was
Party.
Like, we need to get a Nintendo 64, play some Mario Party, play some 007, play all the Zelda. I used to love Zelda.
I never played that.
That was actually on Nintendo, not Nintendo 64. Anyway, you know what, guys? We have a great show today. 30 minutes in. We have two segments this week. One, we're going to do things that make you go, and then we're going to move on to the viral spiral and talk about things that are going viral. Number one. Things that make you go, Foxtrot is closing its doors forever in the middle of the day. If y'all don't know what Foxtrot is, it is a coffee shop that is like pretty famous. They have them all over the country.
Is it a coffee shop or a grocery store?
Both. The internet news outlets and TikTok are buzzing after the coffee shop and market chain Foxtrot, Dom's Kitchen and Market closed forever with zero warning to customers and employees in the middle of operating hours early last week. The announcement caught employees and customers so off guard that staff actually had to tell customers They had to leave right that moment while other stores handed out free wine and product to those gathering as the news spread. All 33 stores and an additional 2 Dom's Kitchen and markets were shut down effective immediately. The store shared a message with store managers on social media. The closure was so sudden that customers and staff took to social media rather quickly, spreading the news, which drew mass attention and crowds to the stores in cities like Chicago, Dallas, DC, and more. While there is no official word on what actually happened, it is known the company was struggling financially and had just hired a new CEO in March. Now the company is facing class action lawsuits for its failure to properly notify its employees. This is what's so crazy about this story. I was at Foxtrot like 3 days before this happened. And do you remember? Oh no, you weren't with me. I went to a bridal shower.
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry. A baby shower that was on the same street as Foxtrot, like off Knox Henderson. No, not off Knox, that area. And that was probably a week before, and Foxtrot had live music outside of it. And I remember thinking, man, Foxtrot is thriving. They have live music in front of them. Like, I remember that thought going in my head and being like, I need to go back to Foxtrot because they have live music. And then they literally closed down in the middle of the day.
I feel like you and I are both pretty smart business people. Does this really surprise you?
About Foxtrot?
Yeah, that it closed?
Well, when you're selling $17 granola bars, no.
But who's buying $17 granola bars?
That's what I'm saying. No, it doesn't surprise me.
Oh, it doesn't surprise you. I thought you, okay.
No, no.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me at all. I mean, we walked in there and I was like, okay, yeah, cool coffee shop.
But I'm
like,
not going to spend $8 on something.
I feel like their whole strategy was like, let me go and lease out the most expensive real estate in every city to be in like the who's who's of a neighborhood.
Yeah, they were.
And let me find all of these like niche brands that are cool.
They had like probably 300 drink options, kind of like that one place in LA. Oh, Erewhon.
Yes.
Erewhon. Yeah.
Yes.
But like LA has celebrities, like Dallas doesn't. I don't know. Is it the same? I don't know.
Yeah, I just don't think they were branded the same. I think Erewhon is like really well branded. I also think that Erewhon has way less locations. These people are like all over everywhere. So they probably grew really fast. Mm-hmm. And what I think you and I both know is that this is what a lot of companies do. They raise a ton of capital.
Boo!
And they're like, let's figure out how to be profitable later.
Oh, babe, I'm so happy you brought this up because you know when we were starting Divvy, I was like, I am not taking a dime from anyone else because if my company doesn't grow or there is something failing, I want to know exactly why it is. Is it the marketing? Is it the product? Is it the customer service? But like when you have so much cash injected into a business at the start and you throw money at every single, you don't know what's going wrong.
Yeah.
You don't know until you've scaled so big that all the systems start to break down. And then you're like, where was our company actually lacking? But with Divvy or with a lot of, if I ever were to launch another company, like I wanted to grow gradually and start really small so you can poke holes and fix them like as you need. But with a lot of cash, you just can't because you just throw, okay, you have like, if somebody throws you $10 million, I'm like, okay, put this amount into marketing, this amount into product development, this amount. When at the end of the day, maybe nobody likes your product. Well, then you're screwed.
Yeah, I don't know. I honestly don't know a single person. Like I know all of our friends who are like, I love their coffee. And so I'm like, okay, so it's a coffee shop. Like you can't.
And their coffee was like, okay, but Merit's better.
But you can't sustain a coffee shop like on Knox Henderson with just coffee, right? You have to sell more than that.
So they had a market.
So I was like, okay, so it's a market, but I've never seen anyone or talk to anyone who was like, oh, I got this at Foxtrot Market. So it's like so sad because I
you can't drive there either. It's not like a grocery, like Trader Joe's. You can't like drive and go shop.
Yeah.
You know, so it's kind of like Royal Blue Grocery.
Yes.
Whatever happened to them? They used to be our place.
They went out of business.
They used to have one in Dallas and that one went bye-bye too.
Yeah.
I feel like that type of concept just doesn't work.
Well, I think it works in different times. Like I think it worked like pre-COVID when we weren't in kind of like a recession state.
Yeah.
But like people are complaining at like about the price of groceries at like a Kroger.
Yeah.
Like no one's going to be going to a Foxtrot Market and being like, I really want this obscure brand of granola bar.
That's $18.
No one's doing that right now.
I'm not kidding y'all. They had like granola that was $18.
So it's like, I feel so bad for them because probably in the boardroom, they were trying to figure this out. And this turnaround CEO came in like March and was like, okay, how do I fix this?
I got this.
And it sucks, but he probably was like, let's have live music outside.
He's like, that'll get him. Hey, it got me. If you would have just given it two more weeks, they could have made the comeback. I'm telling you.
Like, let's put some live music. Like, let's make it more of a destination. But I think that the reason they shut down so immediately is that they truly had no other option. They were like, hey, no one's going to fund us. We are literally purging and hemorrhaging money. And so it probably was a decision of like, do we immediately cease operations, maybe give our employees like something?
Do you feel like that's like kind of disrespectful though? I'm actually curious. Like, I don't know because I'm not in that situation.
My guess is like, as frantic as TikTok is being, is my guess is that they had no other options. Like they were going to default either to the...
Even 24 hours to give your employees 24 hours to like, make sure you start looking for other jobs, or you don't waste your day coming in when you're not going to get paid, or, you know, I don't know.
So apparently they were $180 million in the hole. Okay. So like, if you're in the hole that much, like... maybe what happened was they thought that they were going to get some like financing deal and then it fell through and they were like immediately cease operations. But I see. I feel like I've been at a company like where it was going down.
It's not Divi.
No, it's not Divi. It was like early
just to
on,
clarify.
Early on in my career, it was Wiseware. They're not around anymore. But like, I feel like towards the end, like everyone kind of saw the writing on the wall.
Yeah.
And it is crazy to be in a culture like that, because what happens is like six guys in the room are all like, guys, we're going down. And there's always the one guy.
He's like, no, like, we're going to save the ship.
We got this. We got this. Live music outside. Let's go. It's like,
they're like, get Iris Apple involved. Yeah. Alexis Pitar.
Yeah. So it's like, there's always that one guy. And when it actually runs out of cash, it's usually like that one guy who is trying to just not see the obvious.
Yeah.
That makes it to where it's like, okay, we have to shut down tomorrow.
Okay, so that makes sense.
It makes sense, like behind closed doors, like how it happened. But I'm just wondering why the outrage, like who was going to this coffee shop?
I think it was very popular. I think Foxtrot is a very popular coffee shop. And I mean, like they had live music, like people were sitting out there, like, you know.
How many people were sitting out there?
You know, like listening. No, I will say I have been to this coffee shop multiple times.
Yeah.
I don't love their coffee. It's just in a good location. And so it's when I'm walking by or passing by, and yeah, it's always packed.
Well,
but how do you go $180 million in the hole?
Honestly, probably the real estate that they were in, like Knox Henderson, they were over by a, like,
I don't know,
Lover's
Jordan,
Lane.
But it really does make you go.
Hmm.
Topic two, Boeing employee says employees would jump on plane parts to make them fit. That's comforting.
It does seem
Boeing like- quality engineer and whistleblower Sam Salapour, I'm sorry if I said that wrong, Salapour, testified to Capitol Hill stating that Boeing's push for rapid production undermined its commitment to safety. During his shocking testimony, Salapour said he saw employees taking shortcuts when assembling 787 Dreamliners. He also alleges he saw people jumping on airplane parts to get them to align. Salapour stated during an interview with NBC's Lester Holt that these gaps that are caused by not entirely fitting plane pieces could lead to them breaking apart mid-air. According to one article, there have been 8 major documented issues with Boeing planes since 2024 began. The company denied these claims, calling them inaccurate, and said that they are all fully confident in their 787 Dreamliners. While there isn't substantial evidence in numbers accessible to the public that shows these two types of planes, the official whistleblower complaint is being investigated thoroughly by the FAA. Also, did you see that Southwest Airlines is not doing well?
No.
Yeah.
Why?
They're waiting on like a big shipment of Boeings apparently, but they had to shut down like 3 of their routes because
they don't have enough planes.
I think planes, they just, I don't know. It's not going well. Hope your dad's okay.
I think he's all right.
His dad works for Southwest, but he's not. Sorry. It's true. His dad works on the ramp at Southwest, so his job hopefully is not affected.
Yeah, no, he's
in okay. fact, never mind.
So,
what are you laughing? It's true.
No, it is true. Here's the thing. I feel like it feels less and less safe to fly lately.
Whether is it actually becoming less safe, or are we just hearing about it more?
No, what I'm talking about is like, yes, there's the external factors of people jumping on plane parts. Like, it sounds like they're putting together planes like I put together Stella's toy car, you know?
Yes.
Which is probably not entirely accurate, I would hope. But
no, I'm like, maybe they were just jumping to get like a dent out. Like, you know, it's fine. I would do too. It's okay. I feel like people were just probably taking this a little too far, if I had to guess.
Yeah. But so from the outside, they're kind of falling apart. But like from the inside, like I feel like I'm hearing more stories about people like trying to rip open doors and stuff.
Yeah, what's going on with the soul of the plane? What's the outside looks okay, but the inside is just really falling apart.
I didn't mean the inside. I didn't mean the soul of the plane. I meant the people inside.
Oh, okay, okay.
The people inside are trying to like rip open doors and stuff. Like they're having to like.
I know.
Like.
It's awful.
Like hold people down because they're trying to jump out.
And then you have windows breaking and it's just really, it's horrible. I'm not laughing.
I mean, are you not, do you ever feel less and less safe from being?
I got to be honest with you. I just don't let my mind go there. I'm not really a fraidy cat when it comes to things like that because I just don't think about it. And here's my philosophy in life. You want to hear it?
Yeah.
When it's my time to go, it's my time to go. And so I don't stress about it, you know, but maybe I would take like smart, like precautions. Like if I was about to fly a Boeing 787 Dreamliner, I would be like, maybe not.
You know who we should dial in for this segment?
Olivia.
Olivia. Call her. Ask her if she's ever had to restrain someone from trying to jump out of the plane.
Jump out of the plane?
Yes, that's what people are doing. They're trying to open up the doors, the emergency exits.
Wait, what?
That's what I've been saying.
Oh.
And you talked about the soul of the plane. Oh. I'm talking about the people inside.
Wait, why are they trying
to
do that?
Because people are lunatics.
Wait. So, did you make that up?
No. Call Olivia.
Can they do that while can you open the door while it's moving like that?
Yeah, if you send the emergency exit.
Are you sure?
Are you Googling or calling her?
To be honest, I have so many Olivias in my phone. I have like 30 Olivias. I know a lot of Olivias.
If she doesn't answer, she doesn't love you.
Okay. Maybe like in fourth grade. My phone's gonna die.
Really?
It's okay. She's probably slinging some Amazon.
Hi, this is Olivia.
Good for her. She's making that money. If she answers to you and not me, she only loves you.
Yeah, that's how it works.
She's like, help me. The Austins won't let me go.
How did you join this family? How did you join this
family? Help.
You want to call my dad? Ask him about the boat?
Oh, yeah. Call your dad. He would know.
You call my dad.
Me and Joel. We do have a very special relationship. Okay. Joel.
Just be like, Southwest not doing well. What's going on?
Hello.
Hey, Joel. What are you doing?
Hi, Danny. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Are you at work?
Yeah, I'm on a little break right now, but yeah, I'm at work.
Okay, question for you. Uh-huh. Have you had any issues with some of these planes, like some of the Boeings?
Have we had issues?
Yeah, I've been reading about how the Boeings are not doing well.
No, I don't. I mean, we're downsizing station-wise because we don't have enough planes. They're not delivering them what they said they were going to.
That's what I said. Okay. I was curious because I was reading that Southwest is not doing very well right now.
No, they're not. They've lost a bunch of money.
So you haven't, is it true that people are trying to jump out of airplanes right now?
They're trying to jump out of airplanes?
Here, I'll let Jordan say it.
No, they're like, people are trying to open up emergency exits and stuff.
Oh, he says people are trying to open up emergency exits while they're flying?
Oh, I don't know. I haven't heard anything about that. Those are just crazy people.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't think that'd be well, if you good advice.
If you hear any rumors about Boeing, let us know, okay?
Alrighty.
Yeah, no idea who's on the podcast.
I like to not tell people.
Yeah, it's better.
I just want them to be themselves.
It's better that way.
So anyway, in the last 3 years, there have been 32 Boeing whistleblowers that have come forward. That's a lot.
Did you hear about the one that just committed suicide? Or quote unquote?
No.
Yeah. What was his name?
They definitely didn't, though.
That's what I'm saying, too.
Are you kidding me? If you have a big secret to tell like that, you're not committing suicide.
Whistleblower John Barnett found dead in the U.S.
Boeing is a little sketchy. In fact, we should probably stop talking about it.
Yeah, they're going to come after us. Or we're going to have the biggest brand deal of our lives. We're like, guys, listen, we were wrong about Boeing. Today's sponsor
is
Boeing Jets.
I don't know, but that sure makes you go, All right, it's time that we transition to Viral Spiral. We actually had one of our D-influencers DM us this post, and we want to share our thoughts on it. Some Christians are not very happy about Taylor Swift's new album. There's a post going around on social media where the content creator basically dissects certain lyrics from Taylor Swift's new albums, the Tortured Poets Department, and alleges that almost half of her songs use explicit language, make fun of Christians, and blasphemy God. This content creator goes on to point out lyrics in Guilty as Sin, The Smallest Man Who Ever Lived, and But Daddy, I Love Him. Now, the comments lean more so toward calling out this content creator for not listening to the album in its entirety and judging and shaming the artist. However, there are supporters who say they agree with this post, and those in the Christian community shouldn't allow their children to listen to Taylor or be fans of her themselves.
Well, what are your thoughts on this?
So I saw the post. And I will say Taylor Swift's new songs, or a lot of her album, is explicit. They do have an E next to them. So I have been conscientious of when there is an E song coming on. If I'm like listening to the house, I skip through it because I don't want my kids to hear the F word, because that's mainly what it is. It's just like bad language. But to me, you know, these type of posts just seem to pop up whenever anything goes viral. So it's like Beyonce comes out with an album, all of a sudden she's a Satan worshiper. You know, Taylor Swift goes viral, all of a sudden she's a Satan worshiper, whatever it is. Like I've always said, A, I don't think that Taylor Swift is a Christian. B, I think that some of the lyrics that she was using, she is trying to paint like a picture. And a lot of them, she actually is talking about how like Christians have treated her, yeah, and like how they have judged her and how it made her feel like she's not good enough or that she's not accepted. And I think a lot of times she kind of plays into that, like plays into the fact that everybody thinks that she's a witch or everyone thinks that she's horrible, whatever it is. I don't think that she was like mocking Christianity, and I don't think she was mocking God. Like we were talking about this earlier, it's like her form of poetry. She's using these like metaphors in like the story. And I think because she doesn't believe in the gospel, probably she doesn't take it as seriously as like Christians do. And so, yeah, I will say like, it's not my favorite lyric, and I do happen to like skip over that song a lot of times. Like I don't love it.
Is it dark?
No, it's not dark. And, she just like makes, let's see. Where is it? Okay, so here's one. And Bet Daddy, I Love Him. I just learned these people only raise you to cage you. Sarah's and Hannah's in their Sunday best, clutching their pearls, sighing, what a mess. I just learned these people try and save you because they hate you. Let's see. In Guilty as Sin, what if I roll the stone away? They're going to crucify me anyway. What if the way you hold me is actually what's holy? If long-suffering propriety is what they want from me, they don't know how you've haunted me so stunningly. I choose you and me religiously.
Meanwhile, Travis Kelce's like, what is pseudonym?
Did y'all see that clip? I like was dying laughing because on New Heights, on his podcast, he was reading a story,
yeah,
and he was like obviously skipping over a word, but he said he used like a couple of other big words in it, you know? And like Jason Kelce called him out. They're like, he's like, brother, you skipped over the word, say the word. And he's like, no. He can't say the word because he couldn't pronounce it. And the word was pseudonyms, and the silent P was really getting him. It's so funny and so cute. But like, Yeah, I mean, obviously, I don't love it. I don't think she was mocking Christians. I don't think, like, I don't think that she's a Christian. Like, I just don't.
I don't think she is either. Was she ever, did she ever talk about, like, her faith or God in, like, early albums, like, 15 or anything?
Yeah, but not, like, she was, like, passionate about her faith. But right. She did talk about being a Christian back in the day. But I don't think that she ever, like, lived by it. I think it was just more of, like a label for her.
Yeah.
And so... I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
There's so much about Taylor Swift that none of us know that it's like...
And I should have freaking asked Donna Kelsey. I'm so mad at myself.
I don't think she would even know, though.
Yeah, probably not. I don't think there's that they probably, go that deep.
A circle of five people that actually know who she is.
Okay, so here's another song. God save the most judgmental creeps who say they want what's best for me. Sanctimoniously performing soliloquies I'll never see, thinking it can change the beat of my heart when he touches me and counteract the chemistry and undo the destiny. You ain't gotta pray for me and my wild boy and all of this wild joy. If all you want is gray for me, then it's just white noise and it's just my choice. Gosh. That's poetry right there.
She's incredible.
Right? I mean, the thing is like I said, I don't think that it was anything that was not like attacking Christianity or attacking our faith or anything, but I think she's just kind of being honest and yeah, I mean.
Is this like really a thing though? Like are Christians really coming after her?
Oh yeah, I've been sent this post so much. In fact, people are gonna DM me after this and they're like gonna be like, you're making excuses for her. And I'm like, I just don't take it that seriously, I think. I don't like listen to her lyrics and like worship her. I think it's fun to like figure out her story and what she's talking about.
Yeah.
But I'm not like worshiping her or her lyrics.
What are some other like hard examples that people have given of her being a Satanist or witch?
She looks a lot like the daughter of like the church.
She does though.
She really does. I'm not gonna lie. But like, yeah, she really does. But that's like, she's just not. Like she's not, I'm sorry, she's not. Same with Beyonce. They're not like devil worshipers. They're just not.
Yeah.
Because honestly, like at the end of the day, it's hard to talk about someone's like, what do you call it? If they're saved or not?
Salvation.
Yeah. Salvation. I was going to say anyway, it's hard to talk about someone's salvation because it's so serious. Like it's not something to take lightly.
Well, I'm sure all the Christians are definitely praying for her and not totally judging her, blasting her.
Yeah, I'm sure they're just sitting there like, yeah, because I think that's what's so hard is to me, she's not a Christian. She probably doesn't know the gospel. She's probably not experienced it just yet.
Yeah.
But I think the way that everybody is attacking her isn't probably helping. So if you're like looking at the big picture,
right,
it's like this is unfortunately probably just pushing her further away from her faith, as you can see as she writes in these songs.
Yeah,
the way that, dude, people are, I think it's just Christians trying to take advantage of the moment and trying to like get clout from attacking her because they know it's going to get clicks.
Yeah.
Like it just is what it is. Like,
are they
come
doing
on
those like TikTok because talking,
you know,
head videos?
You know, if someone genuinely was like praying for Taylor Swift's salvation and like worried about her salvation, they are not going to be going to Instagram posting this. Like yeah, they're just not. Because to be honest, I worry about her salvation sometimes and like I'm not going to go attack her for that. Like I think about it. I'm like, and it makes me sad sometimes when I think about it. I'm like, man, she probably doesn't know. And like, I wonder what she's actually like, if she actually feels this way or whatever, you know, whatever. But like, what? Like, so me going and attacking her is going to make her be like, I love Jesus? I'm like, no.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of sad when I see stuff like this, to be honest. It makes me not want to hang out with Christians. I'm like, you guys are just a bunch of like judgmental bums.
You know what happened? It's those TikTok videos. They get a lot of views. The talking head videos where you're like, let me tell you what Taylor Swift's lyrics actually mean. Like those are the ones that like really get views. So it's really an algorithm problem with Christians.
So now we're going to move on to a game. Basically, this game is called, I'm calling it this, I'm making this up right now, the millennial motto. And what you're going to do is you're going to say a line that only millennials would know from the 90s or from our childhood or just from being 30 years old.
Okay.
That Gen Z would not understand. Like if there was We have a Gen Z podcast producer. She will have no idea what we're talking about.
Okay.
And then we're going to guess what it is. You go first.
Oh, you want me to go first? Okay. I'm going to give you a song.
Okay.
Okay. And you're going to tell me what song this show belongs to. Okay.
From West Philadelphia, born. Oh, see?
Yeah.
Duh.
Do you know what this is? Really?
I never watched OC. I only watched Hills.
You never seen OC?
I only watched The Hills.
The Hills? Oh my gosh, that's crazy. OC was like everything. Okay. Even the football players watch. Okay, ready?
Yeah. Superstar.
Superstar. Don't you smell our hands?
Yeah.
Superstar. You know what that is? She doesn't know that. Superstar. She's like, I smell my hands when I get nervous.
I've actually never seen the movie, but the minute that you put your hands in your armpits, I knew what you're talking about.
Oh, that's great. That's good.
Okay, my turn. Cabs are here.
Cabs are here.
Cabs are here.
Taxi? Cab?
No, you don't know what this is?
No.
Cabs are here?
No.
Jersey Shore.
I
never watched Jersey Shore.
What?
No.
Oh, babe, we got to binge that tonight.
I never watched Jersey Shore. Horrible. It was so trashy, I couldn't.
But you know, there's heart to it.
No, I used to watch The Real World. Okay. But not
the OG version.
No, I didn't ever watch that. You can't handle the truth.
That's a deep one.
I know.
That's a deep track.
But everybody knows it. Do you know that one?
It's called A Few Good Men.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. My turn. Clear eyes, full hearts, can't lose.
Oh, the high school show.
You have to name it.
Oh my gosh.
Embarrassing.
Clear hearts. Oh my gosh. Friday Night Lights.
Okay, good. Do you know that one?
No, I thought it was from Remember the Titans.
Okay, close. So if... okay. Does he have your number? 1-800-BIATCH. You got that one? What is it?
Do you know? Hold on. Is it like
does he have your number? 1-800-BIATCH. My favorite Scooter.
Is it?
But I'm allergic to the sun.
Oh, She's the Man?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. You know, I mean, I was honestly going to say like the Friday movie or something.
No.
Yeah.
She said Gouda, and I was like,
my favorite's Gouda.
That's fine.
That's good. Oh, what? One more. Oh, this will be good if you got this. If you get this one, hold on. Go home, Roger.
Go home, Roger. Go.
How much I missed ya. Dun, 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 I'm gonna let you go, sister, sister.
Oh, sister, sister. Wow. No, I never watched that.
Go home, Roger. They would say it together.
Did you watch that a lot?
A lot. I love really? That. Tia and
I've never seen a single episode.
Mallory. They were so funny.
Funny.
You know what other show I used to watch? You get it?
Jimmy Neutron?
No. Okay. She's like.
No. What is that? Amanda Bynes?
No. That's so Raven. It's the future I can see. That's so Raven. It's so serious to me.
She would be fun to have on the podcast.
She was the, her and Amanda Bynes were hilarious they growing were up. They were icons.
Icons.
They don't make them like that anymore.
No.
Anyway, guys, listen to me. I need you to listen to me right now. We have an Instagram and it's so funny. And if you're not following our Instagram, I don't think we can be friends anymore. Okay. It's called De-Influenced Podcast, right? Yeah. Is there an underscore after De-Influenced? No, just De-Influenced Podcast. And it's so funny and it's so amazing. And that's how I will know that you made it to the end of this podcast. If you go follow, I will be checking in, responding to comments, having a grand old conversation with you guys. It would mean the world to me. And we also have a TikTok, which matters to me too. It's not like as priority, but it would be sweet if you followed both. Okay, that's all I had to say. We love you and we'll talk to you later. Bye.